I'd like to bring in now from Yahoo Sports, Dan Wetzel, a columnist. Dan, how are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Doing great. Well, you by now probably read the report. Where do you think this story is right now? Give us your best sense of a national perspective of where you think this story is.
Well, you know, the FBI participation is certainly not a good news for Auburn. I don't see how that could be spun in a positive, except the truth will probably come out. But, you know, apparently they were looking into some of these guys on other things, and something got their attention into college football and the recruitment of Cam Newton. So when they're meeting with John Bond, who has nothing to do with Auburn, that's one thing. When you now see links to the Auburn guys, I mean, this isn't a smoking gun or anything like that, but I don't know how you look at it and say, boy, this is good. The FBI is very slow, patient. When they hit, though, they hit with everything they have. And so I don't think this will have almost anything to do with the immediate eligibility of Cam Newton. It's not like the FBI does rarely shares any information with other law enforcement agencies, let alone the NCAA or its compliance person. I don't think it'll have an immediate impact, but in the long term, I think you just sit there and go, well, you know, they don't take small cases. Why are they in on this? Why is this going on? And I think that would probably be the most unnerving thing to me if I was an Auburn fan.
Previously, we saw in the Albert Means case, the FBI got in towards the end, and I think they were involved a little bit in the Reggie Bush case. What generally gets the FBI involved in these, or is it just they're happening to investigate something and it just comes across their plate?
I think they get into this stuff because across their plate. I mean, they've been involved in other things. I did one with an AAU team out in Kansas City, Myron Piggy, back in the, you know, late 90s, Jerron Rush and the Rush brothers. And I don't know how many people remember those guys, but the FBI got involved in that because of taxes. You get a lot of, you know, I mean, let's step back away from this story because I don't want to implicate, but, you know, if somebody's getting 180 grand to play football somewhere, you say, all right, well, where's, you know, that's income. Where'd it come from? A, where's it going? You know, there's a lot of laws all of a sudden get broken that don't have anything to do with, you know, the NCAA rules. And so they can get involved in all sorts of stuff. And you know, one of the things I think fans always say is, who the heck's got 180 grand laying around? You know, I mean, most people just can't go to the bank and just pull out, you know, an ATM it out. So it's often an elaborate deal.
Sure.
And that's where you get into these things. So, you know, we don't know, you know, boosters, let's just say this happens, okay? Whether it happened to Auburn or not, I don't know. But boosters who are inclined to do this stuff, you know, generally are probably not, you know, they may be involved in other things.
Mm-hmm.
that, you know, they may not be running their business in an airtight IRS way. So it just gets going. And the thing with the FBI is once they're in, they don't stop. And people, they have power to make you tell the truth. I mean, you can't lie to a federal officer. Is against the law. You right. will go to prison. They have put Martha Stewart in prison for lying to a federal officer. I mean, they will put you in prison. So everyone knows that. The FBI knocks on your door, it's a totally different deal than when a reporter knocks on the door or the NCAA knocks on your door or a compliance person. You know, I think everybody out there would say, yeah, I'm going to start telling the truth as long as I don't have that much to hide. People, cop, please. That's why this is so significant, because the fact that this seems to be a fairly wide scope investigation into this recruitment. It's not just they happen to want to sit down with one guy. You know, they usually provide very powerful evidence in these cases that no other body normally can get.
Yahoo Sports was very intricate in the coverage of the Reggie Bush situation at USC. You have experience, of course, with the NCAA and how it deals with issues like this one.
Yeah.
There's been so much speculation. Would the NCAA expedite this situation, or are they going to do the usual number and have it drawn out over a course of a year or two or so? What's your feeling on the timeline?
They would very much like to have this settled one way or the other. The last thing college football needs or college sports needs is, you know, let's say Auburn, they do not suspend Newton. He plays the next two games. they win the BCS, they get a BCS bid, he wins the Heisman, and then on January 2nd, the FBI comes out with something, or a newspaper comes out with, you know, we come out with something, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're sitting there, okay, we now got to suspend him from the title game. Now the title game is not, you know, now you got other teams saying, well, this is ridiculous. You know, Auburn's not the same. Even worse, they win the title, and then you have to, you know, hand back the title. We already have a Reggie Bush case where you have a Heisman going back, and once their final appeal is done, the BCS said they will rule, and they have indicated that if Reggie Bush is still ineligible, which he will be, that they're really not even appealing that. They will vote to take back his title. All the writing on the wall is that USC will vacate that title. But you don't. The last thing college sports needs is another title and another Heisman vote, you know, vacated, no matter who it is. It's just a black eye on the sport. You'd now be talking about two of the last five or six BCS champions didn't exist. That's ugly for college football. So the best thing for the NCAA is if they could make a conclusion now, either the kid's fine, let him play, or he's not fine, let's pull him. They lose a couple games maybe,
mm-hmm.
or they win. You know, I don't know what you do with the retroactive, but they would like to get this thing done. That's really the key. The last thing they want is dripping out. So in most cases, they move very slowly. On this one, they are not moving slowly because there is a time element. This is such a unique case. Even when we came out with the Reggie Bush stuff, it was after he was done playing. It was not in the middle of this enormous dream season that it with the best player.
Stepping away just for a second from the Auburn case, how does this impact TCU and Boise? And does this give them more legitimacy in the way they're able to say, hey, we're not having to pay players, we're doing this the good old-fashioned way, why aren't we getting our shot?
You know, I guess they could probably make that argument. I hadn't thought of it that way. You know, they could. Let's presume that they aren't, you know, and then let's just say they, because they don't really get big-name recruits, that they're just getting kids. Yeah, they might be able to make an argument, look, you know, we're doing it the right way, and here's this other. I don't know if that would really be a great argument for them, or it's really fair to all the other schools.
It was worth a shot.
Certainly to Oregon. But yeah, those guys are trying anything they can, so they probably would go with it. But yeah, I think this is the whole sport. I mean, I love college football, and one of the problems with college football, though, is it just makes itself hard to like sometimes. And it's things like this. It's the BCS, you know, we're not going to settle it on the field. You know, we have to play politics and say that you're not worthy, even if you won 26 games in a row. And it's just sort of like, it just gets tiresome. I don't even really have an opinion on whether Boise State should play for the title or not. I'm just tired of talking about it. And it's like, here's this dream season for Auburn. I said this on a radio show the other day. It's a phenomenal year. And they got this great player, and what a year. And all anyone's talking about is he eligible at $180,000 and wiretaps and the FBI. And it's like, you know, if you just want to love college football and tune in on Saturday, it's like, this isn't fun. And that's the problem with college football. It's so shady at times. It's so, you know, it implodes on itself. It doesn't have a very good, it doesn't have a satisfactory system to crown its champion. I love the sport, but man, sometimes it makes it hard to love, you know?
Absolutely. Finally, our last question with Dan Wetzel of Yahoo Sports. What do you think is the next item, I guess, to fall in this matter, in this Cam Newton story? What do you think's next?
This is pure speculation, okay?
Sure.
So just take it at that. I think that, you know, there's a reasonable belief that Cecil Newton was shopping Cam Newton. All right, that's my opinion. And I think most people, there's just too many people would be lying right now that this didn't happen in some form. It's possible, but not probable. I think Auburn is making an argument that, well, Cam Newton didn't know. And unless you can prove Cam Newton knew, we're not going to sit him now. Now, the NCAA has sent out this statement saying it doesn't matter whether he knew or not. I mean, and they don't normally send out statements. That's why it was significant when they sent out the clarification of the rule. They said, if you just, somebody in your party solicits payment, you violated NCAA's ethical conduct policy. Very significant, because a lot of times they just say, we don't comment on investigations. Well, they did on this one. That's why we always have to ask, because you never know. Didn't comment, but they made it, you know, they did comment. the fact they pointed that out, they think that's a violation. Auburn has not pulled the kid yet, though. And they're basically going, you know, whether they're going for broke or they're saying, look, Camden, no, this is garbage. We don't like this rule. Not liking the rule and arguing the semantics against it is something you would do in an actual infractions case, which would be the closest thing you get into a court. That's fine. It's a defense. But it's not a good defense,
right?
Because what you'd prefer to say is, no, there was no solicitation. But whatever it is, Auburn's still playing this kid. And I do think that is the one thing Auburn fans can point to and say, you know, at this point, they haven't crumbled. They must think they have a way out of this. Because if you don't, you really can't defy the NCAA. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see where we go with it. That's probably the next step, though. Did Cam Newton know at all that his father was doing this, whether it's the Mississippi State or any other school? Is there a text message somewhere? Is there an email? Is there a Facebook post? Did he tell anybody? If they can find something like that and change the evidence to that, then I think maybe Cam Newton says.
Yeah.
Again, that's speculation. Things happen quick. Who knows? But I can't see how these developments keep hitting. I haven't seen any good news for Auburn in a long time on this.
Well, Dan Wetzel of Yahoo Sports, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, guys. Talk to you soon.